study, the concept that we'll be studying this morning. Lord, I pray you would help us, like our scripture says here, to have ears to be able to listen, to have listening ears and spiritual ears, Lord, that this would not be a service that we would check off and say, oh, we went to church, we did our duty for the day, Lord, but that it would be a time that you would speak to us. And Lord, that we would grow because of your word. We love you, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in Luke chapter number 14. And there's a lot of great passages, a lot of great things you could preach out of Luke 14 there. But I want to bring your attention to verse number 25 this morning in Luke chapter number 14 and verse number 25. I want you to see this. The Bible says, and there went a great multitude. You see that? There went great multitudes. At this time in the ministry of Jesus Christ, the ministry of Jesus Christ went through a few different phases. And at this phase in His ministry, Jesus is popular. I mean, people are following Him. He is preaching to thousands. He is feeding thousands. He's performing all sorts of miracles. And there will come a time, and we'll see it here in a second, there will come a time when people will forsake Him and they'll leave Him. But at this time, He has a big group following Him, and He has great clout in His ministry there. And the Bible tells us there in verse 25, and there went a great multitude with Him. But here's what you got to understand. Jesus had great multitudes in His ministry, but He did not have many disciples. And that's what I want to preach and teach this morning on the subject of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's what you understand. He had great multitudes. He had a lot of fans. He had a lot of people that liked Him at this point. But not many people were following Him. And I want to, you know, I want to teach about this, because here's what you got to understand. You can be a fan of Jesus Christ without being a follower of Jesus Christ. And you could be part of the multitude. And he said, man, you know, at this time, Jesus could have looked at that great multitude and said, man, look at this crowd, look at the success. The offerings are up, the attendance are up, everything's good. But Jesus was not satisfied. Look at verse 25. And there was a great multitude with Him. But notice what He does. And He turned and said unto them. See, He looked at the multitude and He said, I'm glad for the multitude, but He said, I want more than just a lot of fans. He said, I want more than just a group that comes out because I feed them, and they come out because of the activities we have, they come out because they think I can heal them, they come out because of the things that my ministry can offer to them. He says, I'm glad for the multitude, but He said, I want more out of these people than for them to just be a fan of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I want them to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He turns to this multitude, and notice what He says to them. Verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also. Notice what he says. He cannot be my disciple. Now what that tells us is this. You could be part of the crowd and not be a disciple. You understand what I'm saying? You could be a fan and not be a follower. And Jesus begins, and through Scripture we are taught the things that make you a disciple. And my question for you this morning is this. Are you a fan or are you a follower? My question for you is this. Are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? We're going to look at a lot of Scripture here in a minute. And we're going to see the things. You say, well, what makes a disciple? And I want to teach you a few things from Scripture this morning in regards to what makes a disciple. And are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Number one, a disciple must forsake all. Here's what you got to understand. Jesus expects 100% commitment when you decide to follow Him. Notice what He says. Look at verse 25 again. And there went great multitudes with Him. And He turned and said unto them, if any man come to me, He says, if you come to me, if you want to be with me, if you want to follow me, look what He says, and hate not his father. You say, man, Jesus, you expect us to hate our father? Notice, and mother, and wife. Dude, Jesus expects us to hate your wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters. Jesus wants me to hate my family. Jesus not only wants you to hate your family, He wants you to hate yourself. Look what He says. Yea, and His own life also. Do you see that? The Bible says He cannot be my disciple. You see, I don't understand. He wants me to hate my family. You got to understand this. The Bible never contradicts itself. Of course, the Bible talks about loving your family, loving your wife, and respect, honoring your father and honoring your mother. We understand that. But here's what you got to understand. When you decide to follow Jesus Christ, the commitment that you make to Christ is so great, and the love that you make to Christ is so great that literally there is no room for anyone else. There's no room to love anyone else. If you love Jesus Christ, you can't love your wife. You can't love your children like you love Christ. Now, here's what you got to understand. When you love Christ correctly, you will love your wife correctly.
Amen.
When you love Christ correctly, you will love your children correctly.
Amen.
When you love Christ correctly, you will... So there's no contradiction here. When you love Christ correctly, everyone else will fall in line. But here's the problem that most of us have, is that we put our families before Christ. And God says, if you want to do that, you can't be my disciple. Look at verse 27. And whosoever... doth not bear his cross. He's not easy. He said, whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. See, a disciple is one that forsakes all. A disciple is one that denies himself, takes up the cross, and follows Christ. A disciple is one that not just denies himself and not just forsakes himself, but he forsakes everything else. Look at verse number 33. Skip down to verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath. He says, look, if you can't forsake everything, he cannot be my disciple. Now Jesus says, look, you can be a fan. You want to be part of the crowd, that's fine. You can be part of the crowd. But if you want to be in that inner circle, if you want to be one of my followers, if you want to be one of my disciples, if you want to be somebody who's trying to be like me, he says, I expect 100% commitment. He says, I expect you to forsake all. A disciple must forsake all. Here's what you got to understand. You better, and this is what Jesus teaches. Notice the context. Do you see verse 26? Look at verse 26 again. If any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, notice what he says. You say, what is the context between verse 28, 29, 30, 31, and 32, and verses, 26, 27, and verse 33? Here's the context. Here's what Jesus is saying. I expect 100% commitment, and he says, if you're going to decide to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, you better count the cost. Notice what he says. Look at verse 27. Or verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower. He says, look, if you set out to build something, set out to build a tower, look what it says. Sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it. He says, look, if you're going to build something, don't you sit down first and figure out, okay, how much money do we need? How many materials do we need? What's it going to cost to do this? We just got into this building. This is our second Sunday in this new building. And before we came into this building project here, we sat down and we figured out, okay, we're going to need this, and we're going to need that, and we're going to have to do this, and it's going to take this many days. And we set out a schedule, and we figured out, okay, we're going to need this much money. We brought that to the church. We said, hey, we need $5,000. We need to raise $5,000 so that we can remodel this place and get it ready to have services. That's a smart thing to do. But Jesus said, when you decide to follow Christ, he says, you better sit down and think about what it's going to cost you to serve. Because look what it says. For which of you, verse 28, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, look what it says, whether he hath sufficient to finish it. I spoke to the man on Friday about finishing what you start. And he says, you better sit down and figure out what's it going to cost you to be able to finish the tower that you're building. And when you're building a life for the Lord Jesus Christ, you better sit down and figure out, what's it going to cost me to be a disciple? Can I finish the course that God has given me to do? That's a smart thing to do. Look at verse 29. Lest happily, the word happily means perhaps, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. Do you see that? He says, look, if you start something and you're not able to finish that something, people are going to mock at you. People are going to laugh at you. You're going to be a laughing stock. Yeah, that guy, he started to build a tower, but look, he wasn't able to finish it. He didn't realize how much it was going to cost him. He didn't sit down and count the cost. He just went off and started something, didn't realize the amount of work and time and effort, and look, he's not able to finish it. What a joke. And you say, well, that'd be funny. Could you imagine if I would have came to Verity Baptist Church 2 months ago and said, we need $5,000 to move into the building. And many of you gave, and many of you sacrificed, and we raised that money. Could you imagine what you would think of Pastor Jimenez if 4 weeks later I would have came to you and said, hey, listen, folks, we can't do it. There's no new building. I didn't do the math right. Sorry. I mean, what would you have thought of that? You would have thought I was a laughingstock. You said, are you serious? You came to us and you said it's going to take this much work, and it's going to take this much money, and we can do it in this amount of time, and now you're saying we can't do it, now you're saying we can't finish it? You probably would have been upset. Hey, and with all rights, you should have been upset. But yet the world looks at Christianity today, and many people set out to serve Christ, and many people set out to read their Bible, and many people set out to have a prayer time, and many people set out to be faithful to church, to be a soul winner, but they don't count the cost. They don't realize what it's going to take to serve Christ, and then they quit. And you know what the world says? Yeah, I knew that wasn't real. Yeah, I knew that was a joke. When that guy came around here, when that gal came around here talking about Jesus, talking about their religion, I knew it wouldn't last long. They're mocking at it. You better count the cost. You say, well, I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you better sit down and count the cost and realize it's going to cost you something to serve Jesus. Look at verse 30. Saying this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king? Are we in a spiritual battle? I think we are. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and desireth conditions of peace. Here's all he's saying. If you're going to get in the battle, make sure you can finish it. If you're going to begin building something for Christ, make sure you can finish it. Here's what Jesus is saying. You cannot be my disciple unless you count the cost and realize that I expect 100% commitment. Amen. Look at verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. See, the Holy Spirit is speaking to some of you right now. And some of you right now in your minds are saying, I'm not willing to do that soul winning thing. Then you cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Sunday morning, I'll do Sunday morning. But you, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I'm not, Wednesday night, are you serious? Church on Wednesday, you expect me to do that? All I'm here to tell you is, hey, you can be a fan, but you can't be a follower. Say, well, I have to come to church on Wednesday night? No, but you have to be willing to give yourself 100%. To Jesus Christ to be a disciple. I have to come to church on Wednesday night. You got to give him Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's all his. A follower. A disciple must forsake all. The Bible tells us, keep your finger there in Luke 14 real quickly. Go to Matthew. Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. And if I was you, I'd put a ribbon or something in Matthew 4, because we're going to come back to Matthew 4 later in the passage as well, later in the sermon. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts that the disciples were those men who turned the world upside down. But let me tell you something. The ministry of the men like Peter, the ministry of those men, even the Apostle Paul, who is not one of the original 12, did not come without cost. We've seen these verses before, but let's look at them again. Matthew chapter 4, look at verse 17. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Now, it's easy to just read that verse, but here's what you got to understand. They straightway, the word straightway means immediately, they immediately left their jobs. They immediately left their business. They immediately left that which brought them financial gain. Say, Pastor, does God expect me to quit my job? I'm not telling you God expects you to quit your job. But if God wanted you to quit your job for Him, would you be willing to do it? So many of us say, well, I'll serve God. And then your job goes away. Well, why is God doing this to me? Well, can't God take it away? Doesn't He belong to you 100%? Do you belong to Him 100%? Or are there conditions to your service? Because see, a fan is a fan as long as he's happy. A follower follows where he should go. Amen. Look at what it says. 19. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Verse 21. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Look at verse 22. And they immediately left the ship, their jobs, and their father, their family, and followed him. See, these guys weren't fans. They were followers. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Remember the story of the rich young ruler? Matthew chapter number 19. I don't have time to develop it. But if you remember the story, let's just read a little bit of it. Matthew 19, look at verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And I'm not going to develop, I've preached sermons on this subject, on this story before. I'm not going to go through and everything. But Jesus asked him, verse 21, look what it says. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, and notice the word, follow me. Do you see that? Here's what Jesus was telling him. Now don't miss, I don't have time to develop this. Jesus is not telling him, you got to sell everything you have to go to heaven. That's not what he's saying. I've preached sermons on this before. You got a question about it, we can talk about it later. But here's what he was telling him. He said, if you want to follow me, he said, sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. You say, does God expect me to sell everything I have and give it to the poor? No. Now, if you're going to sell everything you have, give it to Verity Baptist Church, right? You know? You're going to give it to poor people. Good night. We're poor. You say, well what is it? Here's what he's saying. God, Jesus was testing this guy and saying, well, am I 100%? Are you 100%? Are you in 100%? And here's a question I have for you. Are you in this thing of Christianity, this thing of being a disciple, this thing of following Jesus Christ? Are you in 100%? That's what he's asking him. Look at verse 22. Sadly, this is the response most of us have. Sadly, some of you will walk away today after the morning service today, and this verse will describe your spiritual life. Look at verse 22. Then said Jesus unto his disciples. I'm sorry, verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. Why? For he had great possessions. He's not willing. Jesus said, are you 100%? Give it all up. Follow me. He says, I'm not willing to give it up. I have a lot of good things. This sparks conversation between the disciples. The disciples are watching this rich young ruler come to Jesus. Jesus says, hey, give everything up. Follow me. He says, I'm not willing to give everything up. And the disciples are thinking to themselves, well, wait a minute. We gave up our jobs. We gave up our families. We've given up everything we had. Look at verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit up on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and everyone that hath forsaken, look what it says, everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Peter says, well, wait a minute. We gave everything up, Jesus. What are we going to get? He said, you're going to get 100-fold. Let me tell you something. You can't get 100-fold in the stock market. You can't get 100-fold investing anywhere else. But when you invest in Jesus Christ, he says, you'll get. Here's what you got to understand. And Jesus, let me tell you something. Jesus gets sick and tired of our excuses. You say, prove that from the Bible. Go to Luke 14. Did I tell you to keep your place in Luke 14? And really, we need to realize, you know, we walk around moping around saying, I can't believe how much I'm suffering for Jesus. We went to church on Wednesday night, the air conditioner wasn't working. Say, you went to church Wednesday night, the air conditioner wasn't working? You would have been here, you would have known that. I can't believe how much we had to go soul winning. It was 110 degrees. You say, was it 110 degrees when you went soul winning? You would have been soul winning, you would have known that. I can't believe how much we have to live to do for Jesus. Let me tell you something. It is a privilege to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It is an honor to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I've given up so much for you. You didn't give up nothing. Jesus said, hey, you give up your father, you give up your mother, you give up your land, you give up your possession. He says, when you get to heaven, let's see if you're complaining about what you did for the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, the sad thing is we're going to get to heaven and be crying about what we didn't do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what's interesting. Are you there in Luke 14? This is a parable, but look what it says. Look at verse 18. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. Here come the excuses. You know, in the military they used to tell us, don't tell me why you can't do something. Tell me what you're going to do to get it done. And I like that. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. Look what it says. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excuse. Here's my excuse. I can't do what you're asking me to do. Look at verse 19. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excuse. Verse 20. And another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So that the servant came and showed his lord these things, and the master of the house, look what it says, being angry. Why was he angry? Because of the excuses. Said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Here's what you can understand. You say, I don't want to be a disciple. Well, if you don't want to be a disciple, then don't worry about it. But if you desire to follow Christ, if you desire to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, the first thing you need to understand is a disciple must forsake all. A disciple must be 100% in. You say, well, I'm 90% in. Jesus isn't interested in that. He says, stay in the crowd. I'm thankful for the crowd, but he says, look, I need you to commit 100% to me if you're going to follow me. That's what Jesus said. He said, don't quit. He said, because here's the thing. If you don't realize, go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, real quickly. We got a lot more passages to go to. Luke chapter 9. He says, if you don't sit down and count the cost, if you don't realize what it is that I'm asking of you, he said, you'll start to build something and you won't be able to finish it. He said, you'll start to do something and you won't be able to finish it. Look at Luke 9, verse 62. Luke chapter number 9, verse 62. Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. Look what the Bible says. Luke 9, 62. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Here's what he says. If you get to work, he said, keep working. He said, a man that put his hands to the plow, referring to a tool there to work, he says, and you look back, remember Lot's wife, she looked back. He said, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Here's what he's saying. I don't need you. I'm not trying to be rude. I just want you to understand. Right, go back to Luke 14. Do you understand the context of this being a disciple? Look at verse 34. We're talking about being a disciple, right? We're talking about forsaking all, following Him. Look at verse 34. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. Are you seeing? Do you see the word fit there? Do you see how we saw in Luke, it said he's not fit for the kingdom of God? Look at verse 35. It is neither fit for the land, nor fit for the dunghill, but men cast it out, men throw it out, men throw it away. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Here's what he's saying. A disciple that's not in 100%, that's not committed 100%, that's not willing to forsake all. Here's what Jesus says. I have no use for you. He said, I can't even throw you in the I can't throw you in the dunghill. He said, all I can do is throw you up. He said, I can't use you because I can only use people that are in 100%. And here's my question for you this morning. Are you in 100%? Can you honestly say from your heart, God, you've got 100% of me. Everything you want, everything you need, whenever you want it, it is yours, God. I am a disciple. I doubt any of us can truly say that. But you know what? We need to say that. Go to John 6, John chapter number 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. These passages are all near each other, so it should be fairly easy to find. John chapter 6. You say, well, what happens if I begin to be a disciple, but I don't get 100% in? What happens if I am a disciple, but I don't deny myself? I don't take up the cross. The reference to taking up the cross is to dying to self. Do you understand that? The reference to taking up the cross is saying, I am dying to my will, I'm dying to my desires, and I'm committing myself to Jesus Christ. You say, what happens if there is a disciple, but he is not committed to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, in John chapter number 6, you begin to see. Remember, we're talking about Jesus at this time in his ministry had great crowds. When John chapter number 6 is really when he begins to shift, his ministry shifts, and now he begins to lose a lot of people. He's preaching a real controversial sermon. You ever heard a controversial sermon? Probably not around here. Livers, that's a joke, by the way. Good night. Look, hey, Pastor, are you upset? I'm not upset at anything. Disciples is what I was planning on preaching like 3 weeks ago. Look at verse, are you there in John chapter 6? Look at verse 60.
Verse what?
John chapter number 6, verse 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, look what they said. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Here's what they were saying. Oh man, that's a hard sermon. That's hard preaching right there. Look at verse 61. When Jesus knew it in himself, that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? Now here's what you're going to understand. Can you offend a dead man? If you go to a funeral and you know they have the casket there and they got that the corpse there, the body with no life, can you walk up to a dead person and say, you're ugly? And then they're going, I can't believe he said that to me. Can you walk up to a dead person and say, good night? Who dressed you? You know what I mean? Can you offend a dead person? But see, when you're dead in Christ, people say, I'm leaving the church because I'm offended because so-and-so took my chair. It's like, we got a new building with a whole lot of empty chairs. I mean, good night. I'm leaving the church because this offended me, and that all that is telling us is this, you're not dead to yourself. Because you can't offend a dead man. But these disciples, they were offended at the sermon that the man they're following, the God-man, Jesus Christ, was preaching. Look at verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? And by the way, let me just tell you something. Whenever I'm offended about something, whenever someone does something and it offends me, I just realize it's just a check to me that I'm living in my flesh. Because the Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Look at verse 62. Why then if you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Notice he's focusing on their flesh because they're walking in their flesh. The words that I speak unto you, here's what he's saying. Why am I offending you? He says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. Can you be a disciple and not a believer? Yes, you can. Remember the disciples, that they were the disciples of John the Baptist, but they weren't believers? They hadn't even heard of the Holy Spirit? For Jesus knew, in the book of Acts, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Talking about Judas Iscariot, look at verse 65. And he said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Look at verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples, look what it says, went back and walked no more with him. Will that be the life verse of your life? Say, well, they started out to follow Jesus, but they went back. They quit halfway through. Why? Because they did not count the cost. Why? Because they did not realize that every once in a while, something in the Word of God might offend them. Because they didn't realize that every once in a while, they might have to forsake something. They might have to deny themselves. They might have to take up their cross. I'm just saying here, all I'm saying is this. If you want to be a fan, praise the Lord for it. Go ahead. But if you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple of Jesus Christ, you got to figure this out. You got to forsake all. I love what Jesus says to his 12 disciples. And by the way, Jesus just had a church split. Say, did Jesus have a church split? Say, Pastor Jimenez, what would you do if Verity Baptist Church ever split? I'd say, well, it happened to Jesus. Good night. Pastor Jimenez, what would you ever do if we threw you out? I'd start a church next door. I'd cause the next church split. You know what I mean? Look at verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12. This is kind of a heart-wrenching question. I hope I never have to ask this. He says to the 12 that are left with him, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him. You know, Peter, when he's off, he's off. You know what I mean? But when he's on, he's on.
Amen.
I like Peter. He reminds me of me. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. See, Peter says, I got nowhere to go. He said, but here's what Peter said. I've already done burned those bridges. He said, I already left my job. I already left everything. He said, I got nowhere to go. You have the words of eternal life. And then we wonder why Peter was so used of God. And Peter messed up. Peter was used of God. He messed up, but he was used of God. Go to John chapter number 8. Said number 1, a disciple must first forsake all. A disciple must count the cost, realize what it's going to cost to serve Jesus. Number 2, a disciple must continue in the Word. Are you there in John chapter number 8?
Yeah.
Look at verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. So did they believe on him? This means they're saved. Because what is salvation? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So these people were saved. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. So notice, they believe. Then Jesus says to those that believe, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. What we can learn from that is this. Does being saved make you a disciple? No, it does not. You can believe on Jesus and not be a disciple. Because these people believed on him, and Jesus looked at those which believed on him. He said, okay, now here's what you got to do to be my disciple. So it's two different things. Look at verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, if ye continue in my word. You see that? He said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. See, I want to be a disciple. I don't know, maybe you don't. I want to be. I'm telling you, I personally would like to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order to be that, we got to realize we got to forsake all. But in order to realize, you got to realize that a disciple must continue in the Word. Look what he said. If ye continue in my Word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. By the way, not set you free. The Bible says make you free. Bible versions today change that word to set free. You say, why? What's the big deal, Pastor? Why does it matter? The NIV and all these other Bible versions, they say set you free. The King James Bible says make you free. Here's what you got to understand. Being set free has a history with it. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I was a slave and I was set free, then that means I used to be a slave and I am no longer a slave. The Bible doesn't say I was set free. The Bible says that when I believed on Jesus Christ, I became a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away and all things are become new. There is no history to my salvation. There is no I used to be. Look, when I got saved, I became a new creature in Jesus Christ. I wasn't set free. I was created a new man. I was made. I was made free. That's what the Bible says. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You'll get born again into a free man. But how, you say, well, how do I become a disciple? If ye continue in my word. Here's what you gotta understand. If you're not in God's word, there's no walk with God. The only way to walk with God is to be in his word. I'm not asking you to answer this out loud, but I'm asking you to ask yourself, how's your Bible reading? How's your devotional time? How's your time in the Word of God? Did we spend more time with the television today, this week, than we did with God's Word? Did we spend more time with the radio and with the internet and with Facebook than we did with the Word of God? Say, well, I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, it says, if ye continue in my word, then you shall be my disciples indeed. Go to Acts 17 real quickly. You're there in John. The next book is the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 17. Let me understand, and I've explained this before, and I know you understand this, but let me just teach it to you again, because we need to understand this. The goal at Verity Baptist Church is not to gather a crowd of mindless robots. The goal of Verity Baptist Church is not to develop a group, a great multitude of people who are fans of Jesus Christ. We could get some Christian rock music and some contemporary pop music, and we could cut down the preaching, and we could do a whole lot of things that would draw a crowd of a bunch of people that if you ask them, hey, do you like Jesus? They say, yeah, thumbs up. There's churches filled with fans of Jesus. But very few churches are filled with disciples of Jesus. See, the purpose is for you to develop a walk with God. The purpose is for you to know the Bible. Are you there in Acts chapter 17? This is a passage we go to often, but this is our example. This is what we're striving to do. Are you there in Acts 17? Look at verse 2. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming hither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Look at verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. See, this church was filled with disciples. They didn't just say, well, I believe that because the pastor said it. Well, I believe that because that's what my preacher said. No, they were in their Bibles. They were reading their Bible. They knew their Bible. And when something was preached, they were able to go to the Bible and say, yep, that's true, I read that. Why? Because they searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Why? Because they continued in the Word. And they were disciples. Now, please understand this. They didn't have a bad attitude about it. Sometimes people get this idea, well, I'm going to come to church, and everything the pastor says is wrong unless he can prove it from the Bible. That's a bad attitude. Now listen, everything ought to be proof from the Bible. And at Verity Baptist Church, we strive to prove everything from the Bible. But notice what it says about these people. Verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They were ready to receive the word. They wanted to receive the word. But they weren't mindless robots either. They searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Go to 1 John towards the end of the Bible there. 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. Let me tell you something. You need to get to the place where you read your Bible every day. Where you know your Bible well enough. And look, listen. None of us know the Bible as well as we need to. We all could learn the Bible better. But you need to get to the place where you know the Bible well enough. Where you can't be tricked. Where people can't just lie to you. If Pastor Jimenez dies tomorrow and a new pastor takes over, or you kick me out and a new pastor comes in, you better know the Bible well enough to where he can't lie to you. You say, how do I do that? Search the scriptures daily. How do I do that? Continue in his word. How do I do that? Be a disciple. Are you there in 1 John chapter 4? Look at verse 1. 1 John, towards the end of the Bible there. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, right before the book of Jude and Revelation, right at the end of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. He says, look, don't just believe everything people tell you. He says, try them. The word try there means test it. Make sure it's accurate. Whether they are of God. What's the context? Look at the last part of the verse. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. See, you need to get away from this. Everybody that knocks on your door with a Bible in their hand isn't necessarily of God. Every preacher on the television that has a Bible in their hand is not necessarily of God. You need to try the spirits to see whether they are of God. Why? Because there's a lot of false prophets. Well, Pastor Jimenez, how do we know that you're not a false prophet? Am I proving what I'm saying from the Bible? If I'm proving it from the Bible, then it's the Word of God. If I'm not proving it from the Bible, then you can discard it. If it's my opinion, don't listen to it. But we look at a lot of Bible around here, and I'm telling you, you need to get to the place where you are familiar enough with the Word of God, where if someone says, you know, to the place where if someone says something to you, maybe you don't know the exact reference, maybe you don't know the exact verse, but you think to yourself, that doesn't sound right. You ever listen to somebody say something, and you think, I don't think so. I don't think that's in the Bible. Then you study it out, and you're like, yeah, that's not in the Bible. That's what we need. We need disciples. You say, what's a disciple? A disciple must forsake all. What's a disciple? A disciple must continue in the Word. What's a disciple? Go back to John. John chapter number 13. John chapter number 13. We said number 1, a disciple must forsake all. We said number 2, a disciple must continue in the Word. We said number 3, a disciple must love his brethren. Are you there in John chapter number 13? Look at verse number 35. John chapter number 13 and verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Do you see that? John chapter number 13, verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. How shall all men know that ye are my disciples? If ye love one to another. If ye have love one to another. Do you see that? A disciple must forsake all. A disciple must continue in the Word. But a disciple must love his brethren. The Bible says, if ye have love one to another, He said, that's how people will know that ye are My disciples indeed. Do people know that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ based on how much you love the other believers? Go to 1 Peter real quickly. 1 Peter. Towards the end of your New Testament there as well. 1 Peter, if you were in 1 John, right before the book of 1 John, you got the books of 1 and 2 Peter. Just small books towards the end of the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Look at verse 22. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Look at verse number 22. 1 Peter 1:22. 1 Peter 1:22. Look what the Bible says. Seeing, 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto, look what it says, unfeigned love of the brethren. The brethren is a reference to other believers. Sometimes people ask me, why do you guys walk around here and call each other brothers? Hey, Brother Daryl. Hey, Brother Alejandro. Hey, Brother Vincent. Hey, brother, you know, hi, you know. Why do you guys do that? Because we're a spiritual family. We all have the same Heavenly Father. And spiritually, we are a family in Christ. And the Bible says there, look down at that verse again, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now notice how he says unfeigned. The word unfeigned means not hypocritical. It means genuine. He says have unfeigned love for the brethren. He says have not hypocritical. He says have genuine love for the brethren. Look at the last part of the verse. That ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. He says when you love each other, love yourself each other fervently. He says why does he say that? To have love that's not feigned. That's not fake. Love that is pure. Here's why. Today in our society, many people come to church to see what they can get. They don't come because they love the brethren. They come because they want to see what they can get. Spend a week with Pastor Jimenez. And listen to how many phone calls I get every week. I mean, people just flat out lying through their teeth. I had somebody call me yesterday. Hi, may I speak to the pastor? Yeah, this is the pastor. Hi, I've been to your church, you know. I've been going for a couple months. What's your name? I don't recognize that name. How big do you think our church is? If somebody's coming to our church for a couple months, I think I'd know their name. I've been going there. Are you sure you've been coming to our church? Yeah, the church right there on Northgate. Oh, really? What color are the walls? You know what I mean? Well, you know, I was just hoping that maybe you could pay my... How many phone calls we get like that? How many people come to church because they want to sell their Mary Kay? How many people come to church because they got something they're trying to get? That's not why we should come to church. We should come to church because we love each other. We should come to church because you love the brother. Now listen to me, and I, you know, every once in a while, you may think like that. I'm not trying to offend you. I'm totally for it. You know, we've got a few business owners in this in our church, and praise the Lord for it. I like business owners. And I don't mind you church people doing business with each other. I don't mind that at all. But just remember that. We ought to esteem other better than ourselves. I tell people all the time, if I do business with another Christian, if somebody's going to lose in that relationship, I make sure I get ripped off before my brother gets ripped off. Well, I'm not going to let people take advantage of me. Then don't bring your business here. Because it's more important to love each other than to make money off each other. And you know why I do zero business with church people? Because if they don't do, because when I hire someone, I like to be able to fire them. You know what I mean? And if I don't feel like I can fire you, then I don't want to do business with you because I love you. Do you understand that? I'm not against you doing business. I want you to do business with each other, but have the right spirit about it. And don't come around here trying to sell everybody their Mary Kay. Don't come around here trying to sell everybody your Tupperware. Don't come around here trying to, you know, because that's not unfeigned love of the brethren. That's you trying to make a dime. The Bible says we ought to love one another. The Bible says, by the way, the Bible says to make not my Father's house the house of merchandise. That's what the Bible says. That's why we don't sell anything at Verity Baptist Church. We give out everything. You get CDs, they're free. We don't sell them to you. You go to an activity, they're free. Many of these activities cost us a lot of money, and we don't charge you a dime. So you take an offering, it's biblical to take an offering. But we don't make the house of God a house of merchandise. Are you there in 1 Peter? Go to chapter number 2, look at verse 17. 1 Peter chapter number 2, look at verse 17. 1 Peter 2:17. Honor all men. Look what it says. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 3, look at verse 8. 1 Peter chapter number 3, look at verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Look what it says. I love how it says it here. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be all of one mind. Or I'm sorry, I'm reading that. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. I love that phrase though, love as brethren. You say, how should we love each other as brethren? Why? Because we are brethren. I was talking to Brother Alessandro about this. You know, I believe the Bible commands you to be in church. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. I believe it is a clear command from Scripture to not forsake the assembling. I mean, it says, not forsaking. It says, don't do it. I think if you skip out on church, that is a sin. You got to ask God to forgive you. But you know what? I don't think we ought to be motivated to go to church, because if I don't go to church, then I'm sinning. You ought to have an attitude where you want to go to church. You ought to have an attitude where you want... I want to come to church. Why? Because I love my brethren. Because I want to be with my brothers, with my sisters in Christ. Because I want to... These are my friends. These are my family. That's the attitude we ought to have. Love as brethren.
Amen.
Say, well, if I was a disciple, you'd love the brethren. He says, we're going to know that you're a disciple if you have love one to another. Go back to John 15. Go to John chapter 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 15. We said number one, a disciple is going to forsake all. We said number two, a disciple must continue in the Word. We said number three, a disciple must love his brethren. Number four, I'd like you to see, a disciple must bear fruit. Are you there in John 15? Look at verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. The word so there means in this way. He says, when you bear much fruit, this is how you'll be my disciple. He says, so shall ye be my disciples if ye bear much fruit. You say, what does it mean to bear fruit as a disciple? Is it love, joy, peace? No, that's the fruit of the Spirit. As the Spirit works through you, you can bear the fruit of the Spirit. Praise the Lord for that. But the fruit of a disciple, if an apple tree produces apples, and an orange tree produces oranges, and a cat produces a cat, and a cow produces a cow, what does a Christian produce? Another Christian. When you bring fruit to Christ, God says, you're my disciple. Go back to Matthew chapter 4. Remember, I told you to keep your place there in Matthew chapter number 4. I don't know if you did or not. Matthew chapter number 4. Look at verse number 19. Matthew chapter number 4. Look at verse 19. The Bible uses a different illustration here for the same concept. Matthew chapter 4, 19. Look what it says. And he saith unto them, this is Jesus speaking, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. See, here's what you can understand. When you are reproducing yourself in others' people, when you are bringing others to Christ, when you are fishing for men, then you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Then you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. And by the way, this is a good test. Say, how do I know if I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ? You know, some of these other points might have been a little vague. You say, well, I love the brethren, most of them, you know. I read my Bible sometimes. This is a pretty good test here. Say, how do I know if I'm a disciple? Are you bringing others to Christ? I'm a pastor. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Have you ever got anybody saved? Have you ever brought anybody to Christ? No, I never have. Then you're not following Christ. I can't believe you'd say that to me. Hey, look, I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Look at verse 19. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you. He didn't say, I'll encourage you to be fishers of men. He didn't say, I'll try to motivate you to be fishers of men. He says, if you're following me, I will make you fishers of men. What that tells me is this, if you're not fishing for men, then you're not following him. End of story. Well, I like Jesus. Hey, you can be a fan, but you're not a follower. Because when you follow him, you'll be fishing for men. When you're a disciple, you will reproduce yourself in fruit. Say, I'm not a disciple. Well, why don't you become one? I'm not a disciple. Well, why don't you decide today, I'm going to be a disciple. Why don't you decide today, go to Acts. Acts. We're almost done. Acts chapter 11. Why don't you decide today, hey, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to count the cost, I'm going to figure out, okay, this is what it takes to be a disciple, I got to forsake all. This is what it takes to be a disciple, I got to continue His word. This is what it takes to be a disciple, I got to love the brethren. This is what it takes to be a disciple, I got to bear fruit. Why don't you count the cost and then decide, hey, I can do that, I'll be a disciple. You say, well, I don't know I can do that. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
Amen.
I don't know, can I do that fishing for men thing? Everybody can do the fishing for men thing. Because if Christ is with you, you can do it. And by the way, without Christ, you can do nothing, is what the Bible says. Are you there in Acts chapter number 11? Look at verse number 26. The Bible says, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples, notice what it says, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Antioch is a city there. The church at Antioch. And it's interesting to me, the word Christian did not come from believers. We did not call ourselves Christians. The world looked at the disciples and they called them Christians. The Bible says they were called Christians first in Antioch. You say, what does the word Christian mean? The word Christian means a little Christ. That's what it means. Do you notice the word Christ at the beginning of the word? A Christian. What they were saying was, they saw the disciples. Okay? They saw this group of people. What did they notice about them? Well, they noticed the things we talked about. They noticed they'd forsaken all. They noticed that they continued in the Word. They noticed that they loved the brethren. They noticed that they were bearing fruit. They noticed these things. And these people looked at these people, and here's what they said. Man, those people, remember that Jesus Christ guy? Remember they crucified him? Remember that Jesus guy that was walking around preaching the gospel? Those people, they remind me of Jesus Christ. Those people are like a bunch of little Christians. They're like a bunch of little Christ. They're Christians. Let me ask you something. If we took you into a courthouse and accused you of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence for the judgment to come out guilty? Would there be enough evidence? If we talked to your family and said, hey, you know, Sister So-and-so, is she a Christian?
The way she talks, good night. I didn't know she was a Christian.
With her bad attitude, with her temper, with his drinking, with his smoking, I'm just saying this. A disciple is someone that resembles the person they're following. Look at verse 26 again. And when he had, I'm sorry, verse, 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Do you understand this? The whole purpose of the Christian life is to be more like Christ. Go to Romans chapter number 8, real quickly. Romans chapter number 8. We're almost done. And I'm going to keep saying that until we actually get done. All right? Romans chapter number 8. I'm not lying. Every time I say we're almost done, we're closer to being almost done than we were when I said it before. Romans chapter number 8. We are almost done, okay? Just look at this. Just stick with me. Romans chapter number 8. The purpose of our Christian life is to be more like Christ. Romans chapter number 8, look at verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Oh no, Pastor. That's that Calvinist verse. Do you guys believe in predestination around here? Well, the Bible said it, didn't it? Now notice what it says. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be saved. Is that what it says? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be a believer. Is that what it says? No. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. No, we don't believe that you are predestinated to be saved. We believe that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But God knows who will be saved. And whom he did foreknow, those people he predestinated to what? To be conformed to the image of his Son. God wants you to be conformed to the image of his Son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Go to 1 John chapter number 3. We were there earlier. Should be fairly easy to find. 1 John chapter number 3. The whole purpose of the Christian life is to be more like Christ. And when you are more like Christ, then you'll continue in the Word because Jesus is the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. When you become more like Christ, you'll begin to fish for men. Why? Because Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. When you become like Christ, you'll love the brethren because Jesus loved his brethren. See, the purpose of the Christian life is to be more like Christ. Are you there in 1 John chapter 3? Look at verse number 2. 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 2. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Are you a son or daughter of God? I hope you are. That means you're saved. That means you're a brethren or a sister. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. See, the goal is to eventually be just like Christ. It would behoove some of you to start acting like Christ now, so when you get to heaven, it's not such a big culture shock. It would behoove some of you to start acting like Christ now, so that when you get to heaven, you're like, yeah, I'm used to this. I don't have to get used to all this Bible stuff. Look at verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him, what's the hope? That will be like Christ. Purify themselves, even as he is pure. See, you begin to prepare yourself. And every day we ought to be being more like Christ. Now look, we're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fail from time to time. We understand that. But the purpose is to be like Christ. Go back to Acts chapter number 6. Acts chapter number 6. Acts chapter number 6. We're done. We're going to look at 4 verses, all right? This is the conclusion. We're finishing up. 4 verses. Acts chapter number 6. We said number 1, to be a disciple, you must forsake all. We said number 2, to be a disciple, you must continue in the Word. We said number 3, to be a disciple, you must love his brethren. We said number 4, to be a disciple, you must bear fruit. We said number 5, to be a disciple, you must be like Christ. Say, what is the purpose? What is the point? Are you there in Acts chapter number 6? Look at verse 1. Acts chapter number 6, and verse number 1, the Bible says, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, you see that? There arose murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. You say, what is the purpose of Verity Baptist Church? Is it to bring in a crowd? Not really. And I mean that. Is the purpose to bring in a great multitude of fans? It's not. Honestly, it's not. What's the purpose? To multiply disciples. To bring more disciples. This is our second Sunday in our new building. We've got room to grow. Say, let's bring a bunch of people in. Let's get that rock music in here. Pastor, if you could just shorten up your sermon to like maybe like 10 minutes, and if you could just stop saying these negative words like sin and hell and judgment, and maybe we could just get a big crowd in here and it'd be so exciting. That's not the point. The point is to multiply people who will continue in the Word. The point is to multiply people who will bring the fruit. The point is to multiply people who will love as brethren. The point is to multiply not people that are going to show up for a service on Sunday morning and live like the world the rest of the week, but it is to multiply believers who will say, hey, I will forsake all and follow Him. That's the purpose. That's what they were doing in the church, the church in Jerusalem. They multiplied disciples. Go down to verse number 7, Acts chapter number 6. Look at verse number 7. And the Word of God increased. Here's what they're saying. There was a lot of Word of God at that church. I like it when people come to Verity Baptist Church and they say, man, there's a lot of Bible there. Praise the Lord. It's what we need. And the Word of God increased. Look what it says. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. You say, what are we trying to do? We're trying to multiply disciples. Go to John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. Remember, I told you we had 4 verses? This is the third one. We're almost done. John chapter 4. Look at verse 1. John chapter 4, verse 1. John chapter 4, verse 1. Look what it says. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard, what did they hear? That Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Say, what are we trying to do? We're trying to do what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He made and baptized disciples. He got people saved. He got people baptized. He taught them the Bible. He taught them to follow Him. He was making disciples. You say, what is Verity Baptist Church? It is a disciple-making machine. That's what we're trying to do. Develop disciples. Develop not fans, but followers of Jesus Christ. And I don't use that term loosely. I know the ecumenical movement today uses the term, we are followers of Jesus Christ. You are a follower of Jesus Christ if you have forsaken all, if you are bearing fruit, if you are loving the brethren, if you're continuing in the Word. That's what the Bible says. Go to John chapter 19. We're done right here. John 19. Look at verse 38. John chapter 19. Some of you may be saying, well, I am a disciple, but I just don't talk about Jesus in public. I am a disciple, but I just don't, I'm not into all that church stuff. Well, here's the thing. Are you there in John chapter 19? Look at verse number 38. I think this is one of the most peculiar verses in Scripture. Not peculiar, but interesting, at least to me. John 19, look at verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, and by the way, I believe Joseph of Arimathea was a good man. But the Bible says, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus. So he's a disciple of Jesus. Praise God. But look what it says. Being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly. You see that? He's one of these secret service disciples. He's a disciple, but he's undercover. He was being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly. Why? For fear of the Jews. See, the Jews did not like Jesus. He was a follower of Jesus. He was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews. And he did a good thing, besought Pilate, that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus, it's actually prophesied of Jesus, that he would be buried in the sepulcher of rich people, because this rich man gave him his tomb. So I like Joseph of Arimathea, but I think it's interesting the Bible says he was a disciple, but he was a secret disciple. He's undercover. I don't want everybody to know how into Jesus I am. Here's my question for you this morning. Are you a fan or a follower? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Say, I'm not. Why don't you decide today? Honestly. Don't leave here today and say, well, that was nice. That was interesting. I didn't realize there were so many verses about what it takes to be a disciple. And then walk out and just go into life, just nothing changed, nothing happened. If one person would say today, you know what? I am making a choice right now. I am counting the cost right now. I am deciding right now, I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now count the cost. It may mean you have to deny yourself. It may mean that you got to get up a little early to spend time in the Word, and your flesh doesn't want to. It may mean that you have to forsake a few things. It may mean that you have to spend time in the Bible. It may mean that you have to go follow Christ and fish for men. It may mean a lot of things. But why don't you decide today, hey, I will be a disciple. And if we are making disciples, then we are doing exactly what God wants us to do. Because the church is not about a crowd. Church is not about a bunch of fans. It's about being a follower of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. Thank You for our church. And Lord, I pray that You would please help us this morning. Lord, I know it's so easy to just get wound up in the things of the world and think, well, I've got this to do, and I've got to go to lunch, and I've got to go... There were so many distractions. I got to go to the store after church. And I got to, this week coming up is going to be a busy week. And I got this to do. But Lord, I pray that today You would just help our hearts to be just on this concept. Am I following Christ with my life? I didn't ask if you're a believer. We saw that you could believe and not be a disciple. I'm not asking if you're in the crowd. We saw that you could be in the crowd and not be a disciple. I'm asking, are you a disciple? The word disciple comes from the word discipline. A disciple is someone who has disciplined themselves to follow Christ. I pray You'd help us to be a church that would multiply disciples. Father, we love You. In Your precious name I pray. Amen.